When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hello, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the Van Halen Show, the show that dives into the catalog and discography of Van Halen themselves, one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. You know the drill. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. Joining me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling?
Yeah!
Feeling pretty good. It's October is a really shit month for me when it comes to work. I got tons of stuff on the go work wise. I'm producing 48 hours of live television this month in the span of 3 days, pretty much consecutively. So I'm gearing up for that. So that's why we don't have a ton of guests on in October. But one thing we are going to do, Mark, and I wanted to talk to you about it here on the air. We've had a lot of great guests on our show, a lot of big, you know, other podcasters, authors, of course, Greg Renoff. I was a huge one. Eric Senich, Kelsey, everyone's favorite Kelsey. We're going to get back to this more Van Halen fan shows. And we've I've been going through the list, and we've got quite the list of people who have reached out at one point or another and asked, hey, if you ever want a guest on the show, I'd like to come on. So we're slowly going to start making our way through that list. And our first guest will be on next week's show. But I just wanted to ask the folks, if you're interested in coming on our show, maybe let's keep it to the emails, because sometimes between Twitter messages and emails and Facebook and whatever, I might miss the odd one. So if you can either email us podcastwillrock@gmail.com, or you can go to our webpage, podcastwillrock.com, and there's a form on there you can fill out, and we'll keep all the requests to coming on the show right there so I can keep track of them a little bit easier.
We're in high demand, and it's all because our listeners really dig what we do, and we appreciate you. And we appreciate the fact that you, too, want to talk about Van Halen as much as we do. So thank you. Thank you for that. And to those of you who have requested so long ago, patience, we're getting to you. Trust me. Producer extraordinaire Corey, he's only got so many hands, and, you know, he's in so many pots, and so he can only do so much, you know.
That's
but
right.
We're trying.
I know there are a couple of requests that came in April, and here we are in October.
Oh,
so my apologies for making you wait so long, but we are going to get you on the show. And good Lord be willing, the wheel will be kind to you.
Oh boy, that seems to be our lot, though. People are so excited to get on the show, and then when we have them, most of the time it is not exactly the song they want to hear, nor is it the era they want to hear. And we're sorry for that. But again, it's the spin of the wheel. Our apologies to Greg once again, because he was so excited. And then we just watched his soul die as we spun. How many say I?
And I may have to jump him up in the queue a little bit. Maybe we'll try and get him on before Christmas, because everyone's still busting my chops about getting the mulligan for the DLR boys. Yeah, we got to get Greg on there. And, we got a lot of the junk off the wheel, so we're bound to spin a better cut for Greg next time he's on.
That's true. The odds are more in our favor the more we go along, which is good. I did not anticipate that. I was afraid when we started this show that we were going to just spin hit after hit after hit, and it was going to be great. And then we were just going to hit some of the not so great ones and just hit this lull. And then I don't know what would have happened, but part of that is what makes the show fun for us, at least. I hope you, the listener, have fun as well, because you never know what the wheel is going to spin us. Sometimes it's a gem, sometimes not so much. But that's why you tune in, right? Yeah, of course. Of course it is.
Well, and right now, we're the only two people on the planet who don't know what the song is, because if you clicked on this, it's Friday, and it says right in the title what the song is. But as we're recording this, we have no idea.
And I know exactly.
It's scary to a lot of our guests. They're like, you don't really just spin a wheel, right? Like, I can prep beforehand. I'm like, nope, no prep. we legitimately spin a wheel.
Yeah. It's we're not lying to you every time. That's why I always ask the guests when we have them on. It's like, you can confirm this wheel is real, right? Like, we're spinning this wheel. I assure you, there is no funny business occurring there.
No, and this wheel is fucking with me tonight, because I always do kind of a practice spin before we get rolling here. And the practice spin tonight was Pound Cake, which is one of our most anticipated tracks. I know Brett Cooper has demanded I call him when we roll Pound Cake. I know Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty podcast has demanded we call him when we spin Pound Cake. We could have like 10 people on the panel whenever we spin Pound Cake.
I mean, for real though. And just look, you guys, I'm right there with you. I want to hear Pound Cake just as much, because I absolutely love that song. It's one of my favorite Van Halen tracks. So who knows what might happen. This might turn into kind of just a free-for-all. You never know. But until we spin the wheel, we won't get there quite yet. We have to discuss some stuff. Corey, I think there happens to be some Van Halen news that we can discuss. What do you say?
Yeah, there's a little bit. Of course, you can always go to the Van Halen news desk to get all your Van Halen news. They do an amazing job over there. We have this kind of back and forth going, though, when it comes to an Eddie Van Halen tribute. Of course, Wolfgang, now twice for the Taylor Hawkins tribute concerts, has gone out on stage and performed a couple of Van Halen songs. In London, they did Hot for Teacher and On Fire. And in L.A., they did Hot for Teacher and Panama. And it was Dave Grohl on bass and Justin Hawkins on vocals. And they fucking killed it. Like, it was just amazing. And everyone's praising Wolfie, and rightly so, for like how he's playing these songs. He said, and you know, that's his closure. You know, he wanted to do it to kind of honor Taylor, of course, but also to honor his dad. He never really had that opportunity. He never plays Van Halen stuff as part of the Mammoth set, which is cool. You know, he wants to keep all that separate, and that's fantastic. But he just absolutely killed him. It was note perfect. He was so fantastic. And of course, that got everybody, oh, we should have Van Halen with Wolfie, but no. Let the kid do his own thing. He feels like he's got some closure now out of this, because the likelihood of a tribute in his eyes are incredibly slim whenever you're dealing with the Van Halen camp, which is one of the more dysfunctional band camps maybe ever. You never know what the fuck is going on. Yeah. And so you have that on one side. And then you have Sammy on the other side saying, oh, I'd absolutely love to do something. And maybe I'll call Alex in a week or two and see what he's up to. And I'll even sing Dave songs to make the fans happy. And we'll get Mikey on board and we'll do a big tribute. Yeah, I don't know if it's that easy, though. No one knows what Alex is thinking at all. I don't think he's come out and said anything one way or the other about anything, for that matter. And obviously, he's still in mourning. He's going to take as much time as he needs. But you hear some stuff maybe from the management saying, you know, maybe we should try and put something together. And if they could, obviously, it'd be amazing. But when you're talking about, you know, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar and Alex, you know, kind of getting together to do something, history shows that that may not be as easy as it sounds.
No, and honestly, I think the fact that we haven't heard anything from Alex is pretty telling. Just in the sense of, yes, you're right. He is still mourning. He's dealing with this in his own way, and it doesn't sound like he is in any rush whatsoever to jump back into this back into the machine, as it were, without his collaborative, you know, partner in crime. You know what I mean? His brother, not just band brother, but, you know, actual brother. You know, these two, the lifeblood of the band. There, it's in the name, for God's sakes. It doesn't sound like he is too keen to start anything anytime soon, and nor should he. He really shouldn't have to. I get why people would be excited at the prospect. Look, if they announced it tomorrow, I would be excited about the prospect, but it doesn't have to happen. It's totally okay. Like you said, Wolfie's got his own thing going on right now, and he's excited about that. He's in the studio right now prepping for New Mammoth. So that is where his focus is at this moment. And kudos to you, dude. Like, for by all means, go write yourself another awesome record. I can't wait to hear it. You don't have to think about Van Halen stuff right now, because that's just, it's done. He said he had closure during the Taylor Hawkins tribute performances. Great, because if that is your closure, if you heard what he did, there's no better way. There's no better way to go out. Like, my words can't even form, just because I just don't understand why people are so hung up on the fact that there must be a continuation. There doesn't. We can just let it go. And I know Sammy is throwing his two cents in, saying that he would be very keen to do it. And I would love for him and Michael both to join up with Wolfie and Alex, ideally, and maybe do some songs, some sets. But is it likely to happen, as you say, Corey? Probably not. History has shown us that. And that is okay. We don't have to have it. It's fine. The fans need to learn how to let go. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It was closure for Wolfie. You know what? For me, as a diehard Van Halen fan, it was kind of closure for me, too, watching both those sets. Like, I'm not embarrassed. I may have shed a tear thinking about my hero, Eddie Van Halen. And watching his son just go out there in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people live and however many watching on stream, and just destroying it, and like playing for his dad and honoring his dad.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. If that's all we got, man, I am fine with that. If somehow everything aligns and everybody comes back together and they do a gig, or like Sammy mentioned, do a residency, two or three shows or whatever, I'm sure that'd be great too. And I'd be first in line. I'd be, you know, trying to get my passport back and get it renewed here in Canada. There's like a 2-year wait list to get your passport renewed, but I'd be working as hard as I could so I get down to the stage and watch that show. But if it doesn't happen, I'm more than happy with the tribute that Wolf paid his dad at the Taylor Hawkins tribute. And I can't wait for Mammoth 2. And I know it's tough for him, because when he started doing the first Mammoth album, you know, his dad was around. And now this time he's you know, doing all the tracking and he's starting to work on drums and stuff this week, and his dad's not there. And it's, you know, it's got to be killing him. And I feel for the poor guy, but I can't wait for that album, because that Mammoth album was one of my favorites of the past decade. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait for part two.
It was such a surprise, too. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise, but it is, because you never know. You never know how legacy people are going to do in terms of their own, you know, project and stuff. People love Cher. Cher has a son who has a band called Deadzy. Deadzy is not that good. apologies if you're a Deadzy fan out there, but I'm sorry, they're not. I've seen them live. They're not that good. So hey, sometimes it just skips a generation. These things happen. but look, that's not to say that Sammy or Michael can't work with Wolfie on something else later down the road. Hell, maybe he's got something for him. I doubt it, but maybe in this next Mammoth project, maybe he'd be like, okay, Sammy, you want to do something? Like, come over here and do like vocals real quick. Like, help me, like, harmonize with me or something. Or I could call Michael too. Why not? We're here. That would be cool. But again, as we say, if the closure he got doing the Taylor Hawkins tribute shows, playing those Van Halen songs, is all that he needed, then that's all we need. There's nothing more to be said about it. So we're with you, Wolfie, however you want to do it. Sammy, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but you know, don't give people false hope, because it's you're just setting yourself up for failure at that point. But what, nevertheless, should there or should there not arise some sort of tribute for Van Halen with the members involved, we will be waiting with eager breath, or we will not, and we will be completely content. So there you have it. Anything else in the world of news, or should we get on to the poll?
That's about it. But you talked about, Wolfie really hasn't done much with Sammy or Mike. I think that'd be really cool if they got together and did something. I know, Sammy's talked about doing more Van Halen stuff on the road, because, of course, he's touring with Sammy in the Circle. They have their new album out, which I haven't heard yet, but I hear really good things about. So I can't wait to check that out. But, you know, why not? You know, if they're in the same area, let's bring Wolfie on and do a song, and who knows, maybe something will come of it. There's still avenues and opportunities there. They don't always revolve around the whims of David Lee Roth, if you will, or whoever in that camp is creating all the dysfunction. But that's really all there is for news. The big news for us this week was our Twitter poll on last week's song, and it's a little surprising.
It is surprising. Speaking of this song, so we covered Dreams last week. I would love to hear if Sammy and Michael wanted to get together with Wolfie and do a tribute, at least just one song, do Dreams. I think that would be a way to get Wolfie to do it, because, you know, Wolfie,
oh yeah,
big fan of that song. Yeah. And we are big fans of that song. It is one of my top tier Van Halen tracks. But how did the rest of our audience feel about Dreams?
Boy, I tell you, I thought for sure this would have been, you know, mid-90s, what Dreams are made of. Like, you always got the one or two contrarians who got to, you know, monkey up the works here a little bit. The Cult of Mariano, if you will. But holy cow, this one was 78.2% what Dreams are made of. 21.8% this Dream is over. And that
who
is just
who are you
shocking.
People? Who are you? That is saying what? Like, how? I don't
and
understand.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
Did the lyrics just not uplift you like they're supposed to? Did you just feel nothing? And this is coming from me, who is one of the most cynical people in the world. And you voted no? I got on this poll early just because I wanted to see how it was doing a few days ago. And I commented because I kept seeing more and more votes were swinging no. Like, who voted no? I want to know who you are. Out to yourself, Corey, please shed some light. What are they saying?
Well, I got a working theory that Sammy banged a lot of groupies in the 80s, and maybe there's a lot of men who didn't grow up with daddy because Sammy Hagar was on tour, and maybe they're bitter and they voted no. That's the only reason I could think of, because even the aforementioned John Mariano, his comment was, who the fuck voted against this? You're out of the cult. So
exactly, that's, if Mariano is saying it, then that something is amiss. Maybe there's another cult. Maybe it's another conspiracy. I don't know what's happening here.
I can't believe the results were like this. But let's get to the comments here. Of course, Mark said, who voted no? Airhead replied to that and said, truly iconic Sammy era Van Halen. Wolfgang Van Halen is right, one of the best. Crazy thing, I only just realized there are zero backing vocals on this one. They just step back and let Sammy nail it. Arguably, Ed's high guitar counterpoint takes the place of backing vocals. But that's a great point. We didn't even mention that. Mm-hmm. No one's singing backup on that. That's all Sammy.
I honest to God, it didn't occur to me at all. Even when we were listening to it again, until I read this tweet by Airhead. And you're right. You're absolutely right. There's no background vocals because there's no need for them, because Sammy is just like, hold my beer, take a step back, I'm going to do this, and just belts in such a beautiful way. So yeah, great observation that I can't believe I never caught before either.
We were just enjoying the song so much, we kind of skipped right over that. So thank you very much for that, Airhead. Let's go down to Heath McCoy, our good buddy Heath, who says, only the Dave or Die fans could have voted against this one. No question about my Team Dave allegiance, but great is great. And this song climbs higher and higher. And then he put in brackets. See what I did there?
You're damn right, Heath. Good man.
Yeah, great comment. The Sean Geek and Fast Fret Boy said, we covered the entire 5150 album over on our show. Yes, they did. It's a great episode. If you recall, Dreams got an overwhelmingly high ranking on the entire album with this song. What Dreams Are Made Of? More like one of the songs that defined Van Hagar. 100%. Could not agree more.
Absolutely. No argument.
Our friend from the Uriah Heep show, Scott Haskins, says, the most powerful and passionate vocal I've ever heard from Sammy. Nice drum fill similar to one in Jump from this song at the end of the clip you play on every single show. So thank you very much for that, Scott.
Yeah.
Our good buddies at the Deep Purple podcast, who their Twitter handle is now Deep Purple Boocast. I see what you did there. It is October. They said, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this song, but hearing it with you guys was like discovering it again for the first time. An absolute classic. Great performances all around.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Thanks so much for that. The Mighty Van Halen says, a perfectly written pop rock song, killer solo, corny lyrics. Disagree with Mark the Bat there. The faux inspiration and verses are like a bad poem, but I know most people love it. So there's a little bit of a descending vote.
And I reiterate my GIF response, how dare you?
someone named Alice. Says happy International Podcasting Day, boy. So you have to thank Christy for that comment. Yeah.
Oh, cheeky Alice. Yes.
Heath McCoy's back and he says, amazing, uplifting tune. Sam's powerful vocal soars. Eddie solo inspired, off the chain perfection. And the drums of Alex, he's on fire here. Yep. Electric drums. I've heard 5150 criticized for this, but it suits the album. Love the electric toms on this one.
Yeah. It was never, like when I brought it up, it was never about criticizing the electric toms whatsoever. It was just, I am noticing that, like, oh, okay. I hadn't really paid too much attention to it before, but I'm noticing, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's using electric toms. And the more we kept listening to the song, the more apparent that, yes, indeed he was. And that's fine. Wasn't a criticism, just an observation. And yeah, just like Heath said, it fits. It suits the song, I think.
Totally. I thought Alex's more electric drums on OU812. I forgot he had kind of dabbled in it a little bit on 5150. So that's my bad, too. Again, I was just kind of caught up in the song. So I wasn't worried about getting facts right. I was just really enjoying myself because I love that tune.
Exactly.
Next, our good buddy Kevin Brown says, 10 out of 10. Every part of this song is perfect. Nothing much else I want to say about it. Absolutely what dreams are made of. Couldn't agree more, Kev.
Agreed, Kevin.
All right, Kyle Anderson says, this track always gets me in a good mood. When I hear it, I get higher and higher. Straight up, I climb. There you go.
See? Thanks for that, yes.
Kyle. Yeah. Der Urs says, most likely the best vocal performance of Sammy Hagar ever. And what a killer song in general. Double thumbs up. I mentioned on the show, it's probably my favorite Sammy Hagar vocal performance of all time.
Certainly one of his best in the Van Halen era, for sure, or his time in Van Halen. I cannot recall another song that I think is comparable that he did outside of Van Halen that would be in the similar vein. So yeah, you might be absolutely right there.
There we go. Greg Zito says, this is Sammy's best vocal. And by the time Eddie gets the second guitar solo, I feel like I can fly. And he put a little gif of Superman on there. So
yes.
Yeah. Very well said. Scott says, great song. Musically, it shows how Eddie was evolving as a musician in 1986. It took advantage of Sammy's strength as a singer and gift for lyrics where he puts effort into it. Inspiring song. So there you go. When Sammy tries, he does have some game as a lyricist.
You see, it's there. It's all there. Like, no one is, I've said this from the beginning, no one is exempt from some, you know, bad every once in a while. Here's my problem, though, that I'm reading all these nice, good, happy comments. We obviously see where all of our thumbs up voters were. Where the hell are the down voters, though? What's happening?
Cowards. I'm all of them cowards.
Show yourselves.
Here's one from David Lee Smith. This is a negative. The chorus will take the vote for me. It's obviously what dreams are made of. Nuff said. Exactly right.
Yes.
VH5150VH says one of their best with Sam. 100% agree with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Scott Monroe says quintessential Sammy era perfection. Makes me think of the music video of the band performing Dreams at the Whiskey A Go Go as police and riot gear assemble to calm the masses trying to get tickets. I don't remember that video, but I'm gonna have to seek that one out.
Right. Again, and so we appreciate all of those. We echo those sentiments from every one of you. Absolutely. But again, I'm just baffled. I'm baffled at the near. 21.8, like 22% said, nah, not this one. Like, what? It's like, do you even like Van Halen, bro? Like, I don't know. You know what? I feel like there's a divide here with our listeners. We have our contrarian cult of Mariano, of course, but even the cult of Mariano can sometimes agree when good is good, and that's fine. They can be reasoned with, I suppose. I feel there is perhaps another faction of contrarians that are all Diamond Dave supporters and nothing more. You know, we've talked about this before, how there's just the divide between fans. You're either a Dave guy or you're a Sammy guy, and there is no in between. And I have to feel that this 22% might be the Diamond Dave collective.
I agree with you, but I'm hoping maybe, Mark, through our show, let's try and bring that divide a little closer together. Let's get the Dammy side and the Sammy side closer together. Why does everything have to be so black and white? It's not just I love this and I hate this. There could be shades in the middle. I personally prefer David Lee Roth. I also love Sammy Hagar. And Dreams is one of my favorite Van Halen songs of all time. And you're kind of the opposite. You prefer Sammy. You love Sammy, but you don't mind David either. You like that era as well. You've been hoping for a Dave song for like 2 months now on the way here.
My two favorite Van Halen songs that are neck and neck. One is a Sammy tune and one is a Dave tune. Yeah. And I've been like itching for either one of them. My introduction to Van Halen was from a Dave era song. So, I mean, yeah, of course I like Diamond Dave. Of course I do. But if I'm talking about which one I prefer Sammy. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I vote one over the other. It's just like, no, it just, as we've discovered through the show, sometimes it just depends on the song. Sammy is not without his stinkers whatsoever. Neither is Dave. It's just it's the middle ground. So all of you out there, you Sammy haters, let's find a mutual understanding, because this poll should have been incredibly one-sided, and I'm baffled. I'm baffled.
Well, and I would hope that the middle ground is that we all love and appreciate Eddie Van Halen, especially Alex Van Halen and Michael Anthony and Wolfgang as well.
Yes.
You know, if you have a preference to one singer or another, that's fine, but don't make it so cut and dry. Open yourself up to maybe experiencing this music a different way. That's what the whole point of this show that everyone gave us such shit for. You don't know anything about the band. I don't give a fuck. I'm rediscovering this band. I'm rediscovering their catalog and bringing on the guests that kind of help us do that one track at a time. That's the whole point. And I'm appreciating Sammy more and more as a vocalist. And he does have some really killer lyrics on some tracks. And some are stinkers, just like Dave has stinkers, just like you
just
said.
Like Dave. Just
open yourself up. Put all your prejudices aside and listen to the song. Can you find merit in it? Can you might find merit in Dreams? Yeah, it's a perfectly crafted pop rock song. Van Halen 2 is a lot heavier. We get it. But there's good stuff in there if you open yourself up to it.
It's all there. Yeah, just, you know, I don't know. Open your mind, open your ears, and just like let it take you away. Let it allow yourself to be open to the experience. Okay. You know, it's been a long time. A lot of these songs are decades, years old. So like, it's okay to, you know, allow yourself to feel other things other than, you know, one track mindedness. So we just simply ask you to be on the journey with us as well. Okay. So there you are. But thank you for voting, everybody. Thank you for your comments on the poll. And now comes the time where I ask you, Corey. It's been a week for you. You got some crazy things coming up with work. You need a good Van Halen tune. So I ask you, which one do you want to manifest for tonight's show?
Well, you know what? After that whole discussion and me being more of a Dave guy, I really want to hear a Sammy tune. Because I really want to cement that point. And I know we almost spun Pound Cake, but two away from that was Runaround. And that is the song that really opened me up to the Four Unlawful album. I remember Pound Cake came out, like, you know, that's a great song and all the video was fantastic, but Runaround with the spinning stage, that video, oh God, did I love that. And that is one of my all time favorite Van Halen songs. I need a good one tonight. I feel like there's a ton of good stuff on there, but give me some classic Sammy, give me some Fuck, give me some Runaround. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm not going to go with my original manifestation idea. I'm going to echo you. What I want is a good track from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. That is exactly what I think we need. If it's Pound Cake, awesome. That would be great. If it's Runaround, awesome too. I would love right now. Just like give me a good, top tier song from For Unlawful. I think something from the Fuck album is definitely needed.
Oh, that sounds great. Give me something like Top of the World. Love Top of the World. Or The Dream Is, you know, we had Dreams last week. Why don't we have The Dream Is Over this week?
Wouldn't that be I don't know if that's irony or if that would just be just a hilarious happy coincidence. I don't know, but either way, I'm here for it. So you're here for it, I'm here for it. We're priming the wheel, we're hoping, we're praying that it gives us something amazing. If it's not from For Unlawful, fine, but you know, give it, we need something good to kind of get us back into the zone. So whenever you're ready, Corey, I'm ready. Sammy, when you're ready, take us away.
All right, and we're coming up with
close.
Woman that in Love close. From Van Halen 2. So about as far away from the Fuck album as you can get. We're going all the way back to Van Halen 2.
All right. I tell you what, mad at it though.
Not at all. Van Halen 2 is an album we haven't done a ton of songs from yet. Woman in Love was the ninth track, or the almost second to last song, right before Beautiful Girls. Do you have any recollections of this one, Mark?
Because I've jammed Van Halen 1 and 2 probably the most, but that's not true. For Unlawful is probably the one I've jammed the most, but Van Halen 1 and 2, and as I've told,
even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Told you, I like to view those two albums as just one big album in my headcanon. So a lot of times if I'm rocking out to one, I have to either go on to the next or go back to the other one. So yes, I've kind of covered this album top to bottom quite a few times. I love this track. It's not my favorite absolute track from the album, but it's great. And I don't have any direct memories about it, just that it's one of those good Van Halen tracks from early Van Halen that makes you kind of fall in love with their sound. How about you?
This is one I haven't heard in a while. I don't think I've really spun Van Halen 2 since Chris L was on the show Out of Love Again way back when. Like I said, I tried not to listen to Van Halen because I kind of want to listen to these songs with fresh ears. So Woman of Love isn't a track I heard a lot of. I remember really digging the harmonics at the beginning. I think that was really cool. I don't want to tip my hand. Obviously, I'm going to listen to this with fresh ears, but I don't think there's a bad track on Van Halen 2. Whatever we spin a Van Halen 2 song, I am pretty damn happy.
So yeah, spoiler alert, probably to what you might get later on. But nevertheless, let's see if maybe we have a fresh perspective this time around.
All right, here we go. This is Woman in Love from Van Halen 2. So there's the harmonics on that intro that I was talking about that I really, really dig.
Uh-huh. Do you, you're familiar with the film Wayne's World, right?
Oh, of course.
There's a scene in Wayne's World when Wayne is going to try out this new Fender Stratocaster that he's had his eye on for a long time. And right before he starts playing, the clerk stops him and says, "No Stairway to Heaven." And that's kind of like a rule of thumbs. It's like, if you're going to play the guitar, the electric guitar, with the amp on and everyone's going to hear you, do not play the riffs to Stairway to Heaven. Just don't do it. It's kind of like you don't wear the band T-shirt of the band you're going to go see at the show. I don't know who made up that rule, but whatever, you don't do it. This intro with all like the whole riff, the harmonics and all sound like something that if you know how to play it and you're going to go try out a new guitar or a new amp, this might be the thing that you're going to try out, and you do it specifically so that you know the whole store is going to hear you. And the whole store is either going to be very impressed or you're going to fuck it up. And then everyone's just going to be like, "Oh my God, turn it the hell off, dude. Get out of here." But that's what this intro has always reminded me of. It's like, oh, this is one of those Guitar Center riffs where you go in like, "Oh, let me try out this new Fender right here," and ding, 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 you know, and see if you can impress the employees.
Well, and if you remember Wayne's World, I think he plays just three notes, but they're nowhere near the three notes at the beginning of Stairway to Heaven. it's closer to Woman in Love, it. Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't afford the even three notes to the.
Yeah, we can't even get close to Stairway or we're going to get sued. So it was just a random three notes. But I found a great quote from Eddie Van Halen about that intro, which I'll read here for you. He says, and I quote, "There are some harmonics I do on the intro, which I really like. It sounds different and I double track it too. So it sort of sounds like what a harmonizer does. It sounds like I use a harmonizer, but I didn't. All I did was double it. I use the regular Strat on that, and it sounds really neat. That's the only other guitar I use beside my main guitar," which is, of course, the striped one from the first album cover. He says, "I put it together myself, and it has a Tele pickup in the back and a Fat Strat pickup and something else. I just had a junk body laying around, and I threw it together in a day. I had a Dan Electro neck, and I put on it. I only used it for that one part because my other guitar is too ballsy sounding to play quiet."
Wow. Yeah, it's like, "Oh, yeah, I just put it together in a day."
Threw together a guitar in a day.
It's like, my God, ugh. If I didn't love the guy so much, I'd be like, "Man, fuck this guy." Because it's like, you're showing your dick like right away. It's just like, "Oh, yep, here it is. This is what I do. I just put a guitar together, double it with my, my original riff. Yeah, no big deal. Whatever. The other one's too ballsy."
Except in Eddie's case, when he's showing his dick, it's 18 inches long and fucks like a jackhammer because he's Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, there it is. So that's his whammy bar is what he calls his piece.
Do as you feel. All these dreams in my mind. One
man, that is good shit. And when you're listening to it with the headphones on, you got Eddie on the left, you got Mikey on the right, and you got like David singing on the left. You got the harmonizing on the. Oh, it sounds so great.
It's brilliant. It's weird to say a nostalgic trip for me, just because like this came out before my time. But I don't know, this just gives me the feeling of hearing those early Van Halen songs like on the radio when I was a kid. Like I've talked about that before. So it just, I don't know, it just kind of makes me feel like a kid thinking about like rock and roll and what that means and what life can be. A party, life can be fun, all you need is you know, women in love and rock and roll. That's I love the sound of this. I love everything that's going on right now.
Well, and lyrically it sounds like this woman that Dave's interested in is kind of torn between him and somebody else, so we'll see how the story progresses here.
Oh baby, make up your mind.
So that's interesting. And I found another quote from Eddie Van Halen here. It sounds like Dave's girl is interested in girls.
That's what it sounds like. And, yeah, you know,
if you're needing a woman just as bad as me. And Eddie said, if you follow the lyrics, you can look at it two ways. It's about a guy going out with a chick. And as opposed to the conventional way of losing a chick to a guy, he loses his chick to another chick. If you don't listen carefully, it sounds like Woman in Love about a chick just running off with another guy. But they put a little extra twist to it where it's a girl leaving him for another girl, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's subvert expectations early, saying, and you know, what's Diamond Dave gonna do? Like, what are you gonna do? She leaves you for another woman. Like, you've lost that battle, dude. Like, she's not coming back. This gives me the feeling, though, this is like a song you'd hear. I think I've mentioned before, sometimes there's such a thing as like bar songs, where you're at a bar, you're just chilling out, you're having a drink or two, and there's just a good rock song sort of playing in the background, but it seeps into your system and you kind of just, you're vibing it. This is one of those sort of like bar vibey songs to me, because it's not your typical Van Halen where it's like a pulsing, steady rock. Like, it's not like Ain't Talking About Love, which is just like constant. It's kind of almost in the sense of Running with the Devil, in the sense it's calm in the verses a little bit, where it's just kind of like taking the music back a little bit. That's not saying that the guys in the band aren't doing anything, because they are, but it's not as just full in your face. It's kind of subtle until it like gets to that chorus. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I had a thought and I lost it, so we're just going to play the song.
It happens.
Okay, before the guitar solo, I remembered what it was. You mentioned this being like a bar song. One thing you don't catch listening to this in a bar, like off a jukebox, is how great the background vocals are. And
yes,
when you listen to this with headphones on, you really hear Mikey and Eddie. Oh man, it's so clean. It is so crisp and so good.
I was wondering when we were going to get to it, because like I was holding off. I was like, no, like, don't forget to mention it. Yeah, those harmonies are so good. Early Michael and the early Eddie just is working as a cohesive unit, man. It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, it's the magic of early Van Halen, really all Van Halen, is that harmony, right? Like, that's how, that Eddie's guitar tone and for me, Alex's drums is how you can pick out a Van Halen song just a few bars in when you're listening to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what makes this band stand. I mean, if people haven't figured that out already, it is the magical collective of all of these things put together. I mean, the Van Halen brothers already had their formula as far as playing together goes, and as far as like what they wanted from one another, because, you know, they're brothers, they're playing together, they understand one another, they understand what each other wants. But then you add things of Michael Anthony's, you know, bass skills that probably doesn't get as much love as they should, but his vocal harmonies, on the other hand, unstoppable. And then, you know, you got the charisma of Diamond Dave, and then later Sammy Hagar, and just, yeah, all of those things working together. That's what makes a great rock band. You get these different elements and you blend them. And most of the time you just have to hope you get a good result. But sometimes the magic is just right.
All right, we should talk about the solo, but I just, before you get to the guitar stuff, I just want to point out again what Alex is doing on the cymbals there, right? Yeah. And that's what I'm picking up more than anything. Ding, 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 just the little accents he's putting on the cymbals that really lay the groundwork for Eddie to put down what I think is another great Eddie Van Halen solo.
Yeah, Alex is given the sort of the ornamentation with the cymbals, you know, just sort of, he's highlighting really like what, because Eddie is doing this, all this finger, it sounds like a lot of finger tapping on the fretboard is what he's doing, which that's not out of character for Eddie whatsoever, but he's doing it a lot in a very kind of a tight formation. And Alex with the cymbals is just really highlighting it when he's kind of off the beat of where Eddie is tapping. And then but then Michael is also, he hasn't let up with the bass rhythm at all, and he's still keeping it moving. So yeah, not Eddie's probably most rip roaring solo, but that does not take away from how, you know, fitting it is.
Well, and I thought it was kind of cool that you have Mikey with the bass, kind of the low register, and then you got Eddie. He's really kind of restrained. He's not really changing the harmonics or anything. Like, he's not really going high, not really going low. He's kind of staying in a certain pocket. And then you got Alex on the cymbals. So you kind of have that high, that mid, and that low, where it's bass, guitar, and then the drums. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, just sort of making it a, not a chord, but just, a full blend, a three-part blend.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Right. Woman in Love from 1979's Van Halen 2, also performed quite a bit on the 2000 tours on 2012. And 2012 was played 50 times. 2015 was played 41 times. And there is a live version of this on the Tokyo Dome Live in Concert release. It was on disc 2, sandwiched between Hot for Teacher and Romeo Delight.
I could see that, because this isn't one of their overly kind of crazy high energy songs. It's like I said, it's a little bit more subtle. It's a good rock tune to be sure, but it's not it's not like crazy out there. So I could see them wanting, you know, when the vocals may not be at their absolute best or something, you don't want to overdo it. This is a good song for that. This isn't, it's not too high, it's not too low, it's just kind of right there. I get it.
Yep. Let's play just a little bit of it, if you don't mind. I kind of want to hear how Eddie and Wolfie harmonized on there. And let's hear how Dave sounded too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think he played this on, Mark?
I'm assuming his Frankenstrap, but maybe not.
I think he hit the nail on the head when he said this is like in Dave's wheelhouse at the time. You know, it's it's not too vocally taxing. He could play it near the end of the set and it still sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Those harmonies are tight as hell.
Wow. Like, you know, yeah. For a live show. That's crazy.
Well, and you know, Eddie doesn't give enough credit, I think, for his part in those harmonies. Like everyone always points out Michael Anthony because he sings so high, but Eddie's right there too. And Wolfie's a tremendous singer as well. And one thing listening to him do like Panama and stuff on the Taylor Hawkins shows, he's singing those harmonies like right on. It sounds just like, you know, Mikey and his dad. It's right in there. So that sounded fantastic.
Yeah, those are really good tight. It's hard to do. It's hard to get your harmonies that tight in a live show when you're playing that loud of music. I can just tell you from experience, it's hard to do. And especially depending on what leg of the tour you're on. So yeah, kudos to Wolfie and Eddie, man. Just that was very, very tight.
Sounded fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mark, with that, I guess it's time for us to vote. Let's start.
I guess
with you.
So.
What
sure, we'll start
thoughts?
With me.
Yeah. Let's see. Is this dream over or is this what dreams are made of?
I mean, why bother with shenanigans at this point? You know, Corey already said it at the beginning of or before we started playing the song. There's not a bad song on the Van Halen 2 album. I fully agree with that. Women in Love is no exception to that whatsoever. It is this is one of those songs, like I said, it kind of puts me in a nostalgic mood because of what it reminds me of, just being a kid listening to early Van Halen, you know, when the world was at my fingertips. I was so naive at the time, but nevertheless, the song is killer. It's a good song to just vibe out to if you just want to hang out with people, hang out with your friends, have a drink or whatever, or if you just really want to sit down and analyze a really good rock song, you can do that. This is absolutely a good example to do that as well, because it's not too heavy, it's not so slow that it's like a power ballad or anything like that, and it's like, no, it's just a nice smooth groove of a tune. Van Halen has plenty of those songs. They are, I would say, known a lot for. I mean, they're known for a lot of their rip roaring solos and their hard rock music. But look, they've got some smooth grooves as well. Women in Love is part of that repertoire of those songs. I think everything just works, man. I love the harmonies, as you guys well know. The solo fit the song, just like Eddie, when he does it well, he does it very, very well. Alex, being Alex, man, especially right there at the end, kind of throwing us for a loop with that the weird rhythm at the end. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But more and more, I'm more appreciative of the musicianship there. So Women in Love is absolutely what dreams are made of. It's early Van Halen. How could you vote against it? I don't know, but we'll find out, because Corey, what say you? Is Women in Love what the dreams are made of, or is the dream over and has she just walked out with the other woman?
Nope, she's staying with David tonight. I love this song. I love this album. This is maybe one of the greatest 1-2 punches in rock history, Van Halen 1 and Van Halen 2. Like, fuck you. It doesn't get any better than that. And I've been waiting a while for this anecdote. I've been reading a lot of Van Halen lately, and I've been waiting for a Van Halen 2 track to come up so I could tell this little anecdote to you, Mark. I'm not sure if you know this, but in the liner notes of Van Halen 2, the Sheraton Inn in Madison, Wisconsin is thanked because on Van Halen's first tour, they stayed at the hotel and completely destroyed the floor they were staying on. They had fire extinguisher fights. They threw televisions out of windows, and they blamed it on the band that was playing with them on that tour, which was Journey. So if you're the Sheridan in Madison, Wisconsin, and you got Journey staying there and Van Halen, and they completely trashed the entire floor, who do you think it's going to be?
Clearly, look, Steve Perry was a wild man.
Nope, it was the Van Halen boys. But no, it's fantastic. I can't imagine anyone downvoting this song or anything off Van Halen 2. And if you do, for shame. Turn in your Van Halen fan card, because fuck you. This is great Van Halen. This is great rock and roll. I love this track. I needed this one tonight. We didn't get our fuck song, but that's okay. We got a great Van Halen 2 track, and I'm very happy.
Never mad at a Van Halen 2 track. Never mad at a Van Halen 1 track either. So, no. Yeah, just bring those on. Yeah, as Corey mentioned, we haven't had too much from Van Halen 2. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of that catalog because I love that album very dearly. Women in Love, man. Yeah, that's I'm probably gonna end up listening to that like two or three more times later, just because it's such a sweet groove, and I don't know, you can vibe to it, man, and sometimes the vibe just must go on. Speaking of vibing, you've been vibing with us here at the show. Corey, where can the people find the show if they want to get some merch, if they want to find the back order, the back catalog, all the good stuff? Where can they find you personally?
Oh, they can find the show www.podcastwillrock.com, on Twitter at podcastwillrock.com. They can find me at cdmarset.com, and they can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. A ton of fantastic shows on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. I'll go through them real quick for you. We have the Deep Purple podcast. They have been killing it lately. Absolutely fantastic show. Sabbath Bloody podcast. Skinnerd Reconsidered. In the Lap of the Pods. Of course, that's a Queen podcast. The Magicians podcast, hosted by Scott Haskin, about Uriah Heep. They got a new album coming out soon, so Scott will be cranking that machine up again here real soon.
Woo!
Then we got Hawk Binge, Maiden, A to Z, Diary of the Madman. Talking about Ozzy's new album, which is really good, actually. So check out Diary of the Madman. That's fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
The Metal Gods podcast. Universally speaking, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself and some other guy and another guy. We've actually added a co-host. That'll be coming up soon. That'll be released very quickly. You'll find out who that is. So Far, So Pod, So What, The Tom Petty Project, Backtracks Steam Music, talking everything movie music, and T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Mark Meyer, I know you got a ton of stuff going on. Where can the folks find you online?
Find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. We just had a show called Women to the Front. It's our third time doing it. It's a tribute show celebrating women songwriters, women front people of bands throughout the ages, mostly 80s, 90s, and early aughts. That was a great turnout. A lot of money was raised for the YMCA charity event. So thank you all. If you were involved, to all who came out and to all involved, it was a great time. Stay tuned for the Halloween Bash. The Exit Inn is one of Nashville's oldest and most prestigious venues. And unfortunately, it's going away because so many things are going away for various reasons. So if you want to catch one of the last shows before the Exit Inn has to finally close its doors, come on down to on Halloween night to the Halloween Bash. We'll be doing a whole sleuth of songs dedicated to the holiday, including songs from the Misfits, Rob Zombie, even some classic songs that you might have heard in your childhood, some songs you might have heard from some classic TV shows. We're throwing it all in there, man. It is going to be a bash, one to be remembered, and it's probably going to be the last time I am on the Exit Inn stage. That makes me very, very sad, but it's going to be a good time.
Mark, we have late breaking news.
Oh,
I opened Twitter to get the Deep Dive Podcasting show, so I got them all right. And Tom, who's going to be on the show next week, tagged you in a tweet. The question is, it's a poll. He wanted your opinion. I want to get it on the show here first before you officially respond. The question is, you can only go to one concert. Whose show are you going to see? And the four choices are Aerosmith, Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, Grand Funk Railroad, and the Steve Miller Band.
Well, if Grand Funk doesn't just pump you up, then, I mean, what are we even doing? No, do you even have to ask? Do you have to ask? It's absolutely Van Halen with Sammy Hagar. Are you kidding me? They could do only the Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge album from top to finish, and that's it. And I'd still be happy. That's not even a question.
They could do Balance from top to bottom, and you'd probably pick that one over the other three.
Yes. Like, yeah, give me that. And that is I'm throwing no shade at Aerosmith or Steve Miller whatsoever. Okay. But come on.
I took the liberty of voting for you. Currently the votes are Van Halen 37%, Aerosmith 34%, Grand Funk at 14%, and Steve Miller Band at 13%. So
that's kind of funny. I would have expected Steve Miller to at least be in third place, but nope.
I guess I know, not. Right? But yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah. But nope, it's definitely give me the Sammy stuff.
There you have it. I went ahead and voted Grand Funk for you. So
thank you. Well, that is the show, you guys. We did it. We did another one. We're getting so close to the end. Just kidding. We still have over 70 songs to go. We're not even remotely close.
Yep,
but I tell you what, we are 73. Wow. But we are approaching that time of, I believe, Corey, we might be approaching our anniversary very, very soon in the coming weeks, maybe the coming month, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not much of a producer that I don't know this off the top of my head. But
for whatever reason, I was thinking we started this back in November. But if we haven't, if it is April, then disregard.
Holy fuck, you're right. November 5th, 2021, started. Yes.
You remember the 5th of November.
Yes, we should do something special for our anniversary, shouldn't we?
We should. We should keep that in the dockets. In fact, actually, all of you listening, let us know when November 5th rolls around for our anniversary. What would you like for us to do? Do you have any suggestions? And don't just say, never mind. I'm not even going to say it out loud because that's exactly what I think our listeners would do. Like, yeah, that thing Mark doesn't want to do, that. Like, we want you to do that. Like, no. Give us some feedback, because that's crazy. I had a feeling that it was approaching, because November just stuck out in my brain. But wow, Corey, almost a solid year of doing this. That's insane.
It seems unbelievable. We lasted this long, right? We thought, we'll do this for a few weeks. Nobody will listen. Yeah. But no, yeah, we're a full year in. We still got 73 shows to go. So we got at least another year and a half, maybe 2 years to go. But that's fine. I'm still having fun. How about you?
I'm having a blast, and it's equally fun because you all, the listeners, are interacting with us. You're a part of our journey. Even if you know Van Halen's catalog top to bottom before we showed up, you're still in it with us, and we appreciate you. So thank you for sticking it out with us, and keep on. We're not done. We are not done yet, because we still haven't covered my favorite track yet. My two favorite tracks. Yeah, they still have not come up yet. So we certainly can't end the show until we at least do those come, because that would just make me so sad. And we've got guests lined up, so we're gonna keep going strong, you guys. But yes, feel free to let us know if there's something special you'd like us for us to do for our anniversary. Corey and I will have a think on it, and we'll see what we all come up with. But until that time, on behalf of Corey Morissette and myself, this is And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. budget.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.